This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We'll chat some NFL right now. We'll do so with the man that played his college football at Oklahoma State. And also was once a first-round draft pick back in the 2012 draft, was the 22nd overall pick to the Cleveland Browns, and that is Brandon Whedon, kind enough to give us a few minutes on the show. Brandon, appreciate the time. How you been?
No problem, man. I'm good. I've been a long day. I live here in Oklahoma City, and we had an ice storm that caused quite a bit of damage. My parents live on a little half acre that has a ton of trees, so I've been helping my pops try to clean up their property a little bit, and I'm worn slick. Other than that, I'm good, man.
I appreciate you coming on, and best of luck to you and your family. Let me start you off with Cleveland. Things weren't looking great last week, and then Baker really turned it up. I know they lost Odell for the season, but to go 22 of 23 to end the game with 5 touchdown passes, what did Baker Mayfield show you last week up against the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, that was impressive. I mean, everybody, you know, if you're on Twitter, everybody's, you know, bashing, you know, kind of the theme of what goes on up there. But, you know, yeah, I mean, he bounced back, came back, and obviously made a great throw there at the end of the game to win it. That's pretty strong numbers. I don't care who you're playing or what you're doing. To do that in an NFL football game, 23 or 25, 5 tubs is pretty strong. So, yeah, I mean, they go as he goes. If he plays well and takes care of the football, they got plenty of weapons to win a lot of games. So, you know, I was happy for him. I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling for that city. They got a good football team, and, you know, it's fun to see him having some success up there.
There's been ups and downs with Baker Mayfield like any young quarterback. Do you believe that he has franchise quarterback material in him? Do you think he's a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. If you continue to put the right guys around him, you know, they've rebuilt that offensive line. They've spent a lot of money at their tackle positions, you know, with the draft pick, and then in free agency they've gone out and made some moves there. That, you know, in my opinion, has kind of shored things up. I mean, they dominate the line of scrimmage in the run game, and so that's kind of, you know, takes a little bit of the heat off of him. You know, you're not asking him to win every game you go out of him. But, you know, I still think, you know, he's not the biggest guy, obviously. And I think he is so much better in the play-action game, the bootleg game, you know, kind of what they do with, like Jared Goff and those guys. I mean, I just think he looks so much more comfortable versus being under center or even in the shotgun, just trying to drop back and throw it 30, 40 times a game. That's hard, you know, I don't know if they do enough of it yet. I'd like to see them do a bit more of that and take a little pressure off of them, kind of get them away from the line of scrimmage a little bit. But, yeah, I think he's got the talent. He's definitely got the moxie and the charisma and the personality to, you know, to win a lot of games. He's a gunslinger, and he's a competitive dude.
He got upset and frustrated this week, and deservedly so, because they lost Odell Beckham for the season, and then people are trying to say that the Browns are better without Odell Beckham, and he defended his wide receiver. What do you say to people that say the Browns are better without Odell Beckham?
I mean, I think you're crazy. I mean, he's one of the top-tier wide receivers in this league. You know, I get what people are saying. You know, there's only one football to go around, and, you know, maybe if he doesn't touch it enough, you know, there's some stuff being said on the sideline, which that's majority of receivers. All these top-tier guys, for the most part, want to touch the football, you know, every time you drop back and throw it. But, no, I mean, you know, he's too good of a player. I don't know Odell, but he kind of brings that fire you kind of want. You know, I think he's another guy that's pretty competitive. But, you know, I get what people are saying. But the reality is, you know, he's going to miss him. I mean, he's a big play guy. He's a deep threat, kind of take the top off. He's really good with the ball in his hands. So, I mean, you know, down a weapon like that, those guys are hard to replace. I'm not sure you can replace them. So I would have to argue that, you know, they're probably not better off without him. But, you know, it's one less guy he feels like he has to force the ball to at times.
And I don't agree that they're better without Odell, but you know what's going to happen. If the Browns get to the playoffs, people are going to make that argument and say, see, they don't need Odell Beckham and trade him in the offseason.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not about that one guy. And I know it's Odell, and he's a superstar, and I get it. But, you know, if any team that understands that, it'd be Cleveland Browns. I mean, they've had some pretty good players up there at times, but not a complete team. I think this is the most complete team they've had in years. So, yeah, I get it. But I still think that roster's pretty solid, you know, and I think they can overcome, you know, him being out. And I know it's a very, very tough division with Pittsburgh. Heck, Cincinnati's playing better, and obviously Baltimore. It's a tough one to get through, but, yeah, I get it. But at the same time, I think, you know, they're deep enough to overcome it.
Brandon Whedon here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. You talk about that division, Steelers at the Ravens this weekend. That's going to be a fun one on Sunday. Who do you lean towards here? I think this could be a great game.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I do a little picking with some friends, and it's just there's no spread involved. It's just pick them. And this one's going to be, I think, it's going to be one of the better games of the weekend. You know, I mean, I'm not sure there's a home field advantage right now with everything that's going on. You know, if it was, you know, full stadiums, you know, you got to air with the home team. I don't know, man. Pittsburgh's front seven is strong. They're really good. If they're not the best in football, they're one of the best. So if they can contain, you know, Lamar Jackson and kind of keep him in the pocket and not let him beat you with his legs, you know, I like Pittsburgh's chances. But they're, again, kind of like we're talking about with Cleveland. They got a bunch of weapons. The run game is obviously one of the best in the league. So, yeah, it's going to be a good one. I'd hate to, you know, if I was a gambling man, I wouldn't lay a penny on it. I just, I think it's going to be one of those games that's going to be close down the wire.
Circling back to the Browns, Brandon Whedon, Raiders at the Browns this week. I think that's going to be another game that goes right down to the wire, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think Las Vegas is better. I think they're playing better. I've only had a chance to see a couple of their games, but it seems like Carr's playing better. He's taking care of the football. Looks a little bit more comfortable in Gruden's system, what they're trying to do offensively. I think he's playing pretty well. Waller, the tight end, he's a baller. So they've got a really, really nice set of guys, you know, of weapons. To me, it's always going to be about the defense. You know, can their defense hold up and be as dominant as you want them to be? That's still the question mark for me. But, yeah, that's another good one. That's going to be another good football game.
Brandon Whedon here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. Let me ask you about someone you know in Dez Bryant. He's making his return. He's on the practice squad right now. We'll see when he gets activated for a game. Dez hasn't played since the 2017 season. How much do you think he has left in the tank?
I know Dez well enough. He's got enough. He's been working his tail off. Obviously, he's posted a bunch of stuff on social media. But, he ruptured Achilles like he did. What was that, two years ago, whenever it was. That's a hard one to overcome, especially at 30 years old. But, man, he's put the work and the time in. I was so excited. I was so excited for him whenever I saw he was going to Baltimore. I think it's a great fit. You know, he's going to take a little time to get acclimated. But I think he's got plenty left in the tank. I can tell you what, he's one of my all-time favorite teammates, college or the NFL. Just a great guy. So much fun. I think he's one of the most misconstrued players that in football, just because, you know, he's a very animated guy, but he's so competitive, wants to win, great team guy. So I think it was a home run signed by Baltimore. I think it's a good fit for both guys.
So you love him as a teammate. Just expand a little bit further on that. We know he's a very good football player, but what is he like in the locker room when you used to play with him?
He's great. I mean, he's like a little kid. I mean, he's always happy. Very few distractions. I mean, he's very passionate, very competitive. If things aren't going well, I mean, he's gonna be vocal, but at the same time, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of coaches would love to have 22 Dez Bryants, you know, and how much he loves football. I mean, the guy was put on this planet to run routes and catch footballs. I mean, I saw it in 07 when we got to Oklahoma State. He was an 18-year-old kid. I mean, I was like, holy cow, who's this guy? You know, he was – from the first time I saw him put a helmet on, I was blown away. So just a great guy, man, just a great dude, funny, you know, just gets along with everybody. Yes, sir, no, sir, very polite. Just a really, really good dude, and it's hard not to pull for him. He's as good as they come.
Brandon Whedon, there's been a lot of great storylines this year, as there are every year around the National Football League. One, though, that intrigues me is the rookie quarterback play. Herbert's done a nice job. Burrow's done a really nice job. Now we get to see the debut of Tua Tagovailoa on Sunday with a 3-3 football team as Miami goes up against the Rams, and it's not an easy first matchup when you have to square off against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. What are the expectations for Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, that whole thing was kind of weird, in my opinion. I thought Fitz was playing all right. I get it. You know, he's a first-round draft pick. You want to get him out there. But, I mean, the expectations are going to be high. I mean, that's just part of it. I mean, no one cares. You know, the media doesn't care. No one cares if you never played it down. You're expected to go out and perform. And, you know, so the expectations are going to be high for him. That's a tough draw, though, man. You know, not just him. That whole front's pretty solid. You got Jalen Ramsey, which is one of the better corners in the league. And, I mean, that's a good defense. And, obviously, Aaron Donald's going to cause havoc no matter who they're playing. So, you know, I'm pulling for him. I think Tua's a great story. He seemed like an unbelievable guy. I'm pulling for him. I think he's got a bright future. There's no doubt about it. They're kind of another team that, in my opinion, needs to keep building and you know, keep continuing to put some, you know, weapons around him, kind of shore up that offensive line as well. But, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, there's no easy games in the NFL. I mean, we all know that. But, you know, first row out of the box, you got to play L.A. That's a tough one. But I'm pulling for him. You know, I think it's going to be tough on him early on, but you know, I think he's got the talent to be a pretty special player.
Pats at the Bills. Patriots, they had that good game up against Seattle. They started off the year 2-1, and that one loss being Seattle. Now they're 2-4. Buffalo started off the year 4-0, and then they lost the game to the Tennessee Titans, lost the game to Kansas City, and then just got the victory last week up against the Jets. This game in Buffalo, do the Patriots still have some life left in them, or is this going to be a Buffalo year and they're going to get to 6-2 and really stamp their mark on the AFC East?
Yeah, I see the latter. I think from top to bottom, I think the Bills are the best team in that division. I think they're the most complete team. Kind of like you said, they haven't been playing great as of late, but you know, Josh Allen started out playing some good football, and you know, they kind of hit a lull in the red zone. You know, they kicked a lot of field goals. I think they scored 15, 18 points, and they're all field goals. I think it was last week. So they're kicking too many field goals. They need to find a way to, you know, score some touchdowns, obviously. But, you know, that defense has been good for years. I truly believe that. And I think Josh Allen's gotten a lot better. I think he's you know, he's got the ability to be a top-tier quarterback in the league. So, yeah, I expect them to handle their business. I don't think Cam Newton's right. I think his mechanics are all out of whack. Throwing the football, his feet aren't right. Is, you know, he's not, you know, if he's throwing the ball to the left, he's kind of stepping directly down the yard line, and he's not really stepping through throws. And it looks like he's playing slow. He doesn't look like he's playing real fast. So, especially with and Edelman's is going to be out for a little while. So, I mean, that they're pretty, you know, they're going to rely on Cam Newton to do a lot, probably in the run game, I would have to imagine, because they don't have many weapons on the outside. So, yeah, I see Buffalo winning this game and taking control of that division.
Do you think Dallas should move on from Mike McCarthy at the end of this season with, you already see some anonymous players, you know, go to the media and have already been basically given up on this coaching staff, saying they don't know what they're doing? Does Dallas have to move on from at the end of the year?
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, you never want it to come to that as far as the locker room goes. I mean, that, you know, anytime, you know, a coach seems like he's lost the locker room, which is not good through six games or however many they played. So I don't see him moving on. I do see him making some changes, especially probably as defensive coordinator. They just can't stop anybody. And I think some of it's effort, some of it's schematics. I think they're not really in position to be successful, in my opinion. But, you know, a lot of it's effort. You know, and that comes down to tackling and want to. And right now it doesn't look like they have much want to's as far as the tackling goes. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what his contract is, 5-6 years, I'm assuming, probably making a bunch of money.
Five, yeah.
I don't see him moving on. But I do expect to see some changes throughout the coaching staff. And, you know, here's the other thing is, I mean, look at the roster. I mean, they're pretty depleted with injuries. I mean, obviously, you got a franchise quarterback that goes down. Their whole entire offensive line's pretty much out. You know, so I don't care who's coaching. That's tough to overcome. But you hate to see, again, the effort and, you know, just the lack of enthusiasm and the way they're what they're putting on tape. It's not good. So you know, that comes back to coaching. And I mean, like I said, I don't think they'll do it, but if they were to move on from him, I can't say I'd be surprised.
It's really impressive to me, and not a good way, that you could lose the locker room 6-7 games into a season and you're number one. I know the easy answer on how to win back the locker room is winning, but what else can a coach do if they already get that feel that they're losing the locker room, even if it's not with the majority of players, but a pretty a good amount of players?
It's tough, especially at that level. You know, you got guys making a bunch of money. You know, there's obviously a lot of egos, and once they get disgruntled, it's hard to take that locker room back over. But you know, honestly, I think that kind of falls back on the veteran leaders in that locker room, you know, to rally the troops and say, hey, look, here's the deal. We got 10 games left. You know, this is on us, man. Some of us are free agents. Some of us are first, second year guys. We're trying to get new contracts. We're, you know, trying to earn a spot, you know, on this team. Let's go out and put the best version of ourselves on tape. And, you know, right now, you know, if I'm another team looking for Dallas Cowboys and you know, you're watching the way those safeties are playing or anybody in that secondary, like, man, I mean, you know, that doesn't seem to me like guys that are going to get an opportunity to play somewhere else down the road. So, again, I think, you know, I know Dak's a very good leader for the team. He's not there, but some of those guys that, you know, are considered leaders in that locker room, I think it falls on them to kind of steer the ship and get them going in the right direction. And then, you know, like you just said, obviously winning takes care of everything. But it's not easy. I'd hate to have that. You know, I tell everybody when I was with the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know that you ever can explain the pressure you feel when you put the star on, whether you're a coach or a player. It's just different. The lights are brighter. The expectations are way more. It's just different. You know, you're supposed to win every game, and that's almost impossible to do in the NFL, we all know. But the expectations are always through the roof, year in and year out. And it's a what have you done for me lately league, and never more so than Dallas. I mean, it's just that's just the way it is down there. So, yeah, like I said, they need to figure it out, and they need to figure it out quick because that division's awful. But they can find a way to win, you know, 7 or 8 games. They might have a chance to win it.
Brandon, really do appreciate the time, especially with all that's going on with your family. Hope everyone stays healthy and safe. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got it, buddy. We'll see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.